Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the world according to Velvet. Oh, this is Velvet. Yeah. We're reporting here live from planet Earth at Rocks and Things, and we have a crowd this morning. There's a couple of people here. Anyway, it's Friday, live from Rocks and Things, and on Friday we just kind of cover some of the things that are going on. We talk about weird, bizarre things, wherever our imagination can take us, and things that may matter as well. So just before I introduce our guest, I just want to let you guys know that on Sunday night, we're doing a group dreaming exercise meditation. I am obsessed with the movie Inception and the idea that we can dream together to affect our world, to dream a new dream for our planet. And so we're going to begin that process on Sunday night at 7. It's the full moon in Scorpio on Sunday, and that's big mojo, that's big juju. According to some traditions, it is called the Buddha moon, and there's some big festival in some obscure valley in India where Buddha and all the ascended masters show up. Anyway.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Yeah, and so that's this weekend. The other thing today is May Day, which is Beltane in some traditions. One of the traditions, though, I read is that they don't literally celebrate May Day until the elderflowers bloom. So the elderflowers haven't bloomed here yet, so we're going to be celebrating May Day today and when the elderflowers bloom. And Beltane, as I understand it, is one of the, what do they call it, cross-quarter, is that the right word, celebrations. It's tied to the cycles of the sun and the seasons, and it's exactly opposite of Halloween. So, you know, I get the sense that it's a time when the doors to the realms are open. Persephone's making her way back up. You know, she's ready to start singing the flowers up after spending like 6 months in some traditions, 9 months in others. Here it's a 9-month time in the underworld. Or 3 months in some traditions, 6 in another. Anyway, in Ireland, which I'm going to next, we leave on Monday. I really wanted to go to Ireland to be a part of the Beltane Festival that they have reinstituted. It was a tradition that was held underground for 6 years or 600 years. There were families that held it under, and they light these fires, and I think they have sex and to celebrate the heart, you know, the planting of seeds, and it's a solar ceremony. But I think I've read some like Myths of Avalon kind of books, you know, and according to them, Beltane is a time where the god and the goddess embody through humans, and you know, we unite in a sacred partnership with the fire element. Anyway, enough about that. I don't know, Terry's starting his numerology class on the 17th of May. On a Sunday at 3, right?
3:00.
Okay. What else is going on? Oh, Katie is going to continue the crystal bowl meditations. Katie Little is going to continue the crystal bowl meditations while I'm gone. So Wednesday's at 8. All right. Enough updates. What are you guys noticing out there in 3D, 4D, 5D land? Anything you want to share? You want to say your name? If not, that's fine.
This is Shauna, and, you know, I've just been noticing a lot of energy changes, and you know, I don't know what to go for there, but big changes.
Okay, good, bad, or just change in general?
Both.
Change.
It's all good change, but it's all about perception.
Right, I'm right with you, and I'm seeing, well, you know, we're still in the liver, gallbladder energy, the spring element, the wood element, and so people are getting stirred up, you know, and what I'm watching Facebook fights. I had a Facebook fight.
Oh,
I had a Facebook find, what I notice about Facebook, you know, is sometimes people's comments trigger you, and the opportunity is to go, well, what in the heck is that trigger? What is that? That means nothing. This is trivial stuff, and we still get triggered and take offense or blat out something, and but then I had a Facebook, not a fight, but a interaction this week with somebody that I love dearly, and it was really healing for me. And so because I spoke what I needed to speak. They were offended by my response, and we had a nice little conversation about that. And so it was good. It was an opportunity to heal. But I can see where people just get all stirred up, and it's really probably had nothing to do with what they're posting about.
Yeah, well, going back to the changes, it's like we think we know what we know, and we're told what we're told, and we memorize what we memorize at school, and we go on and we hold on to these belief structures that aren't even ours, and they're not even confirmed. and then all of a sudden we go through life and go, hey, it seems a little different, you know. And some people, like the paradigms that we see holding man's world together, are just all so flimsy and rickety right now. We're seeing through this. I mean, look at what's going on in wherever it is, Baltimore or something like
that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like, what do we do with these cops that do these things to these people? And what do we do with these people that do these things to society in general, giving us the need for cops in the first place? So all of these structures, we're looking at them and going, oh, man, there's got to be a better way here. I think it boils down to responsibility, taking personal responsibility for yourself. And, you know, you've got to be in a space where you can allow change, holding on to these old conventions, these, you know, I mean, just look at the right versus the left, the Democratic and the Republican debacle. I mean, they're two sides of the same coin. Everybody can see that now. But some of us just have to hold on, you know. Oh, boy, that's such a can of worms. You start talking about that, you can see the people ensconced, entrenched in their belief structures, and you just say something like, well, did you ever think, you know, this, that, or the other thing, and it slightly steps on their treasured, you know, thing, and oh, boy, what a, away you go.
Well, like that whole thing about everything is we see as a perspective, and it's through a filter, and the whole, was it about, somebody spouted something about climate change, and then Terry goes, well, you know, all of the planets are changing right now. It's not just Earth. And, yeah, can humans impact? I think it's how we respond to what's happening rather than trying to control everything. Do you want to be a part of the conversation?
Anyway.
Come in here.
All of it.
This is a radio show. You want to say your name?
This is Sara, and I'm overhearing this conversation. And what came to mind is it's all a reflection of our one consciousness anyway,
right.
So how are each of us, seemingly each of us, participating in that consciousness, love or fear?
Right, and that's, I think that's why we're doing that, that's why I really want to do this full moon collective dreaming thing on Sunday at 7, because we all participate in the collective, and the more consciously we participate, or maybe not, I mean, do we have to participate?
All participating, whether we know it or not.
But do we have to?
I think it's...
Non-participation is participation.
Not making it.
All right, so I want to change the dream, and that's what Sunday is about dreaming a new dream. I'd like to dream a new dream. If you want to participate, please come. Consciously participate. All right, so that, anything else anybody's noticing this week that they want to share?
Well, what is coming to my mind, kind of what you were saying about the planets and how they're changing as well. My thoughts are, and not everybody realizes, is that everything that we do here on Earth affects all the planets that are surrounding us, good or bad. And I don't know, I mean, it's just kind of one of those effects. If we're doing good here on Earth, we're doing good to the other planets that are surrounding us. If we're creating bad energies, doing bad things here on Earth, we're creating bad energies, bad you know, we're affecting, yeah, it's a ripple effect. We're affecting the planets that are out there surrounding us, whether it's good or bad.
Well, and I think, yeah, there was a, it brings to my mind a story, a mythology. I love the mythology of Ceres, also known as Demeter. And in the mythology, her daughter gets kidnapped, taken into the underworld, becomes the queen of the underworld, but she misses her daughter. And first she gets angry, then, well, she immediately knows that her daughter's not above ground. And because of her emotional reaction, the climate begins to change. It clouds up. And then she gets angry, and then she cries. And every time she has an emotional reaction to her daughter not being with her, she affects the weather. And finally, all of the plants die to snow. Humans almost starve. And Zeus says, you know, we got to do something about this because of Ceres's emotional reaction, humans aren't going to make it. And what if it's this whole idea, it's a reflection of us, right? It's a reflection of us, but our emotional reaction to things, is it love? Is it fear? We're affecting the weather. We're affecting our neighbors. We're affecting our animals. We're affecting the plants. We're affecting everything around us because we're all connected.
As above, so below.
Yeah, as within, so without. So anyway, I think that's a really good start to this topic. Anybody want to add anything else? No?
Well, an interesting point that science has come up with. It's always nice when metaphysical people can back things up with a little science, is that the Schumann resonance of the Earth, and that's the hum, the vibratory nature of this planet, has always been around 8.3, 8.7, somewhere in that. So all life sprung out of that basic hum. And since about the mid-80s, that hum has been jumping up, and it's way up there around 14 now, I just saw on a thing on Facebook the other day. And I read this whole long thing about the Schumann resonance. So that's telling me right now the vibration of this planet is expanding and going. It's you know, the little sine waves are moving quicker. And the theory is that everything has to match that pattern. It has to expand. It has to accelerate. And they were also equating why it seems like time is going faster now, possibly due to this effect. Mm-hmm. Everything's just buzzing. Instead of that, you got to, you know.
Well, and that...
I'm done.
Well, and so that whole thing about entrainment, humans, I don't know about all other beings on this planet, but I know everything we want to entrain, right? And so then you add solar flares to the deal. Mm-hmm. You add... photon belt thing.
All right.
And that the whole idea is that we're moving through this photon belt and there's these little packages of energy and information that comes into our field. Because the magnetic field of the planet is weak now. They're coming into the field and they're coming into our field. And then every time one of those solar flare hits, it stirs up the things that have kept us dense, theoretically, mm-hmm. emotions that we've stored, right? Then it starts vibrating these emotions. And we get triggered. So the universe brings us this happy little person in to trigger our stuff. We feel it. We release it. We unlock. We increase our frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So we're being pushed to let go of which has kept us dense and access these little packages of light that are in our field.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore step more into our dharma. I think that's what I made this up. Totally. I think that's what these little packages of information or energy are. They support us because if it's an entrainment thing, right, would it entrain? This is a question, not an answer. Would those little photon packages vibrate to us because of our the frequency of our soul?
Are we receptive to these new vibrations? Are there things in the food chain, the water, the... know, what's that stuff they put in water for your teeth? Are all
fluoride.
Fluoride, there it is. Are all these things keeping us from rising up and matching this vibration. If we, I'm a big fan right now of earthing, just getting out on my new property, sitting there, kind of burying my feet in the sand and in the water and stuff like that. And so it's a question mark I have. I don't know for sure, but are certain these elements in man's world that we're getting so used to, the fluoride, whatever, are they keeping us down at a lower vibratory level? And well, there you go. And then if you're worried about that GMO thing in your food or whatever is going on, does that belief itself kind of become a self-fulfilling prophecy? So there's some question marks out there about what's going on. I think if a good indicator, if you're in a space to evolve and to match a higher vibration, is you just look into your heart. And if you're not really dealing with too much goo there, and you're kind of a happy-go-lucky person like Velvet is, and like a lot of the people that come in here, and you're willing to look at yourself, go within, and kind of do what's got to be done, and look at things, and not react the same old way you've been reacting, that you've been trained to react, that you're comfortable reacting to, but you respond and just look at things, I think you're in a really good headspace to match these vibrations coming in and evolve. It's never too late to mutate, as they say.
All right, mutate. So, Ed, is that what some of this stuff is doing, is forcing us to mutate?
Well, McKimmy now, he said there's going to be, with what's going on with the shields down and the vibrations up and the Fukushimas and all these other things, we're going to start seeing some really interesting mutations within the species, all species. And, you know, a lot of these people say that some of the participants on this planet won't be able to match these vibrations, and there could be massive die-off. So, you know, I don't know. What are you?
Well, and speaking of, I don't want to say this like crudely, but 6,000 people just left the planet because of that earthquake. And we don't even know how many more.
Well, okay, let's look at that. The Earth itself is really starting to wake up with earthquakes. There's a volcano off of Oregon now. There was a giant volcano explosion in Chile. The Ring of Fire is alive.
There's an earthquake off of Oregon?
A volcano out in the ocean. They noticed it a couple years ago, and now this sucker just erupted yesterday.
Ooh, yeah. I don't think putting your seatbelt on is going to help you right now.
Six or seven new volcanoes erupted.
Well, I heard like within an hour after that earthquake, within an hour, I think, was it the one in Chile that kicked it off?
Yeah.
And then six volcanoes started erupting within an hour. Things are amplifying. Totally. Yeah, and, you know, so last week we had a conversation about jade eggs, right? We talked about, I had five, it feels like this is connected. It's not a distraction, I hope. So I had five women come in last week for jade eggs. I had no idea what jade eggs were. Jade eggs are these little jade eggs that women insert inside themselves to, they call it vaginal kung fu.
Vaginal kung fu.
And so as I was gone, while I was on the east side, you know, I heard about that earthquake, and I am wondering if earthquakes, we'll talk about that in a sec, what if earthquakes are orgasms of the earth and we are her little jade eggs?
That's quite a
stretch. I know. But, you know, it's perspective, right? It's our consciousness. We're bursting with ecstasy.
Yeah.
Then it's ecstasy, right? If she's reflecting back to us. If we're bursting with anger or pustules of poison, then, I mean, there's probably a... I prefer to be a little jade egg, thank you.
Take the jade egg over a pustule any day. I love these enlightened discussions. We kind of rock some things.
I don't know. You can have all these suppositions, but I think Sarah is right. Everything that's happening is a reflection of our consciousness.
Of the total consciousness.
Yeah.
Of everybody on board. Everybody holds a piece
there
of that
is,
puzzle.
There's only one consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's individuated.
Well, how we...
And how theory.
And how we... But what we do have, I don't know if we want to say control, but what we can do is how do we respond to what is happening or what we perceive happening around us. That's...
We got to be in let go. We got to be in let go. The planet's saying, okay, whatever I'm letting go of, a jade egg or a pustule, it's let go. And volcanoes do what? You know, we think, ooh, New Earth, and they clean up everything else around it. So they'll clean the air, it'll add new nutrients to soils and all that stuff. So if we're in that space of let go, and I'm ready to clean up my act, and I'm not holding back in fear mode, then, you know, I think there's tremendous possibilities for marvelous, ecstatic joy, jade egg kind of thing.
Love is the answer. Well, and you know, there is that, how do we move through these times no matter what happens, right? I think, Sarah's, you know, it's love is the answer. And it reminds me of that Salish, it's a Sisiwis prophecy about the blue star. And it talks about how before the planet was a planet, she was a blue star. And every time we go through one of these world change times, she sends her energy to the surface of the earth. And those who can be still in the midst of chaos and hear the song of the blue star will be guided and protected.
Oh, I love that.
And so what I just, there was this guy I met who was from Vietnam, and his mother, there was a discussion where, like, all of the villagers were fleeing, right? Everybody was in chaos, and she just sat down in the field, and people were running around her, and shots were being fired around her, and she just went into a meditation right then and there, and she got guided where she needed to go. But, I mean, because I think that takes a lot of chutzpah. Is that the right word?
Chutzpah.
To be able to be that center, to be able to still yourself when there is total chaos going on around.
Why aren't they teaching that in school?
Well, Renee City Carr does in the sixth graders.
Good.
She teaches Kundalini Yoga. That I think that's what a lot of these practices. Well, that's what my Tai Chi teacher said, is that anytime we do a structured practice, it helps us flow in the world. So if we do some form, probably doesn't even have to be a super form, but like whether it's Qigong or Tai Chi or Kundalini Yoga or even breath walk, that structured practice allows us so that whatever life brings to us, we face it. We don't come from fear. So what do you think of that?
Cool.
So numerologically, what's happened? We just moved into May.
Well, May, when you blend the aspect of the 5 month, that's change and adaptability and looking to the higher self for a deeper level of understanding of things. But then we combine that with the year, it becomes, which is a 35-8 year. 5 and 8 is 13-4. So this is a really good month for getting all of the things you want to build happening, taking care of all of the practical aspects of your empire, whatever that may be. You know, if you're going to build a garden, if you're going to build a house, if you're going to start a business, the energies are really, really good this month. And then, of course, you would look at your own individual energies and see how they blend with the universal energies out there. But if you had something that, you know, you needed some extra energy and power behind, like I'm going to go down and get that loan for the house and stuff like that, this is a really good month for those sort of kind of practical, structured kind of things. Building, that's kind of a key word.
The other thing, I'm going to be off air for a couple of weeks, and I'm flying home on the 18th, and that is the day that Mercury moves retrograde. We're going to have another Mercury retrograde in May, and Mercury retrograde will be in Gemini this year. And so theoretically, it's a time to really be the alchemist. When there's some astrologers that say when Mercury goes retrograde, we move from the left brain to the right brain, that we can really tap into intuition. One astrologer said it's when we go into the underworld. We're going back over old stuff, theoretically, so we can kind of clear things up. I don't blow stuff up anymore with Mercury retrogrades. I should knock on wood. The last few ones, I've shifted my perspective. Something shifted because they don't seem as electrical to me. And this idea that I can flow more with my intuition and my heart, it's really a lot easier, I think. That's one of the opportunities. So the thing about Mercury retrograde, it's always how it affects your chart personally.
Right.
You know?
Thing about Mercury retrograde, people make such a big deal out of it. That sucker's retrograde half the time anyway.
Four times a year,
okay.
Yes.
A third of the time.
So to me, it's an opportunity to, you know, clean up old stuff.
Learn how to work with your intuitive self.
With your intuitive self.
People will look at you and say, what the hell are you trying to say? And I go, well, you know, you'd have to be in my head to get it. But I get it, hopefully.
And so again, this Sunday is the full moon in Scorpio. So, you know, the Buddha moon. The idea is with Scorpio, it's an opportunity to deep feelings, deep creativity, deep sexuality, deep power, and express it through our hearts, you know.
Or our jade egg.
The jade egg, because, you know, jade is a stone that is for the heart.
Oh.
So I think, and I talked about this on my YouTube video, I've got one now, that jade is piezoelectric, all right? It's a quartz.
That's how emotion is stored.
Right.
Piezoelectrically in the water.
And so when we squeeze the jade egg, it creates a current. And then that, I have a feeling the opportunity is that it can just blast us open. I talked to one of the women. She came and reported back to me. And she used Sunstone, which is for enlightened leadership. And she said she feels like in just a few days, she shifted. She feels so solid in herself right now.
Cool.
I know.
I want some Sunstone.
I got one left.
Okay.
Hold your hands out.
Oh, I'm going to look at it right now.
All right, so I think we're about running out of time. Does anybody want to say anything? All right, well, thanks for joining our hootenanny. We are we're signing off from the World According to Velvet, reporting live from planet Earth. We'll see you on the flip side. And while I'm there, I'm kissing the Blarney Stone, okay? I'm going to tap into some of my Irish Blarney. Okay, over and out.